right. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read the first four verses together. We'll read them responsively. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Let's read these responsively. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And let's pray, Holy Spirit, please use tonight, Lord, maybe in some ways just a simple type of sermon, but a truth that's almost lost in our country today. I pray that you just help us to grasp hold of it. May we draw closer to you because of it, please, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning I preached a sermon about how to walk in love. Tonight, I'm going to share a truth with you that's honestly, it's not practiced much, and it's preached even less. It really is. It's still in the Bible. God didn't change the Bible. But I honestly think God is not working in our nation like he once was, partially due in part to the fact that we don't practice this like we should anymore, and that is the topic of fasting. Fasting is not some Hebrew or Bible custom. It is something that God set down for us to do. And may I say this just to start? It's not a proof that you're spiritual.
Right.
It's not, you got your charismatics that say, oh, if you speak in tongues, it's proof you've been filled and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a bunch of junk.
That's right. Right.
Just like fasting doesn't prove you're spiritual.
That's right.
It doesn't mean you're a super Christian if you've done it. You know, you don't pull your shirt open and got a big S on your chest, all right? It doesn't work that way. Fasting is simply not eating food for a set period of time in order to show God how important something is to you. And taking that time that you would have been eating and using it for prayer and fellowship with God. That's what it's for. Now, that's broken down real, real simply. But what it means is this. When you're burdened enough about something that you give up a meal and you'll take that period of time that you would have been eating and spend it in prayer and talking to God about that need, one need during that time, that's what fasting is. Now, it's a way to show God how important something is to you and get his attention on it. Fasting is something between you and God. It's not a show to tell everybody else how spiritual you are.
Right.
Okay, and we'll get into this in a moment here. That's called being a hypocrite or a Pharisee. And I'll show you scripturally where that's at here in a moment, but it doesn't mean also that you tell your wife and your kids goodbye for 3 or 4 days and say, I'll see you. I'm going out in the backside of the mountain and just live like an animal for the next 3 or 4 days and I'm going to be alone with God. It's not necessarily, I'm not saying that you can't do something like that, but that's not what fasting is. Fasting is giving up food for a certain period of time, dedicating that time that you would have been eating, giving that up to spend time asking God about one specific thing. It's not asking, it's not your general prayer time. It's getting a hold of God about one thing. All right? It's the difference between a shotgun and a rifle. Shotgun, you shoot a shotgun shell, it's got, if you shoot number six shot, you probably got about 30 or 40 or 50 pellets in that thing. And you shoot that thing and it just keeps spreading out and spreading out and spreading out, and you can really hit a good pattern. Now, a rifle, you're shooting a bullet about the size of your little finger. But it's going fast, it's going furious, and it's going to cut right through you. But you got to be on target. And that the shotgun's a little bit more forgiving. It'll you can spray shot everywhere, and a couple BBs will take the critter down. But you know, try to hit a duck flying through the air or a pheasant flying through the air with a rifle, doesn't work real well. So you use the shotgun, get those pellets out there, and it goes a little better that way. Now, I say that to say this. It doesn't mean fasting is simply not eating for a set time, and it's for a specific thing. Now, I like saying it this way. Fasting is a good way to show God how serious you are about wanting His will. That's the best way to put it. It's showing God how serious you are about something and about His will, and how that you want His way over your way. You're just telling Him what you would like to see. Now, I wonder how many tragedies could have been avoided by bad decisions had we not fasted first. I wonder how many, and please, I'm not saying this about you, okay? Let's go to Kentucky and say it's at Bible college, all right? I wonder how many people married the wrong person because they didn't fast and pray first. They were following their flesh.
Yes.
This is what I want. How about what God wants? Yep. Ouch. That one hurt real bad, didn't it? I wonder how many bad decisions we could avoid if we just slow down enough, take some time, dedicate some prayer, some fasting to it, and say, God, I really need clarity and guidance on this for you. Now, you may not get the thing you desired by fasting, but you're going to be closer to God because you did.
Yes.
You're going to be more in tune with Him because you did. Let me ask you a question. Do you want something or do you want Him?
Right.
I'll be honest with you. There's things maybe that I have wanted, but I'd rather have Him than the things.
Yes, sir.
If I got Him, I'll get the things and beyond whatever I could ask for. I want that fellowship to be close enough with Him that we get what He is more than what I want. Now, let me... We're going to use our Bibles for a little bit here, and I'll show you some things. First of all, fasting is all the way through the Bible. Now, I'm not going to turn to all of these, but we will use it some. Moses, we know, fasted twice for 40 days. He went up Mount Sinai, got the tables of stone. God wrote in the tables of stone the Ten Commandments, the law. I believe also that He put the blueprints of the tabernacle in there. Everything was there that was needed. It didn't take God 40 days to write 10 statements down. Okay? Everything that was needed for the priesthood, the tabernacle, the blueprints. Bible says that God showed him the pattern in the mount, according to the book of Hebrews. Now, he went up, spent 40 days fasting, getting those things with God, came back down, and the people were half-naked, dancing around a golden calf, a false god, to rock music. And Moses got so mad that he threw the tables of stone down. God said, that's fine, but you got to come back up and do it again. So he had to go back up at another time and fast 40 more days to get them again. I think I'd have thought twice after not eating for 40 days, but praise the Lord, he did. Now, we find here in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Now, folks, that's a month and 10 days.
Yes.
No food. That's getting pretty serious. Israel fasted at the death of King Saul. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Israel fasted at the death of King Saul. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Look at verse number 12. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. Bible says that when the news came that
David and or Jonathan and Saul, I'm sorry, Jonathan and Saul had been killed by the enemy, that they fasted until even, and they wept, and they were asking God to help their nation. I have not been alive to have remembered the assassination of President Kennedy. Okay, I wasn't born yet. Praise the Lord. But many of you, some of you, have been. You can remember where you were when you heard that. I remember back in 81, when President Reagan was shot. I remember where I was at, heard about it. Boy, you talk about an eerie feeling in the country. Very similar to what 9-1-1 was. Just that spooky, eerie, just an odd feeling in the country, wondering, is the president going to live? What's going to happen? How's this going to change things? What could happen? And President Reagan, of course, being the congenial man he was, somebody said, well, we hope you're, he looked at the surgeon and said, I hope you're a Republican. He said, Mr. President, today all of America are Republicans. Don't worry. By the way, the man was a Democrat. And it was amazing. But that was just the tenure. The country was mourning the death of a president. David fasted. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. David fasted when his child was sick that he had out of wedlock with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel chapter 12, look at verse number 16. David therefore besought God for the child. David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. The Bible says that David fasted. Not only did he fast food, but he also fasted sleep. Okay, there's multiple things you can fast. It's more than just food. And David was begging God for the life of this child not to die, and yet God still allowed that child to die. But I want you to notice, David was fasting with this sick child. Notice also Nehemiah, several pages over, Nehemiah chapter 4, chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter 1, we'll look at verse number 4. God comes to Nehemiah telling him that he wants him to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall after the Babylonian captivity. And look at verse number 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He's getting ready to have to go back and build a great wall around Jerusalem, and it's put upon him to go do that. And before he does this great work, the Bible says that he set certain days and he fasted and he prayed. All right, let's see here. Look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I think this one's hilarious. Sometimes to me, God has an unbelievable sense of humor. And in this passage of Scripture, I see God's humor. I'm sorry. Daniel had been thrown into the lion's den. And the king was there, and was King Darius. And he didn't want to throw him in, but because he was tricked and signed a decree, he had to. But look at verse number, Daniel chapter 6, look at verse number 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. His sleep went from him. The king was worried about Daniel all night long, and he fasted all night long. His sleep, the Bible says, at the first light, he got up to find out how Daniel was. He went and hollered for Daniel. Daniel, how are you? He said, O king, live forever. I'm fine. And he went, and the king had him brought out, and the people that made that decree, he had them thrown into the lion's den. They became breakfast for the lions. I enjoy that one for some reason, and I don't know why, but I do. Look at the book of Jonah for a moment here. Jonah. Look at chapter 3 of the book of Jonah.
Jonah, of course, swallowed by the whale because he didn't want to go preach in Nineveh. And then he ended up 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the whale, and the whale barfed him up, and he ran to Nineveh and preached and got mad because he knew God was going to save all of Nineveh. And Nineveh got saved. Look at Jonah chapter 3, verse number 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. The whole city of Nineveh, after they got saved, saw their need of God, and the Bible says that the whole city fasted. Would to God we could do that in America today. Of course, we read Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 17. This will be the last one we turn to. Matthew chapter 17. And look at verse number... let's start reading in verse number 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you, Elias is all come already, and they knew him not, but they have done unto him that whatsoever they listed likewise. That's not the verse I wanted. All of a sudden, I'm in the wrong chapter here. The Bible says, and I wrote down the wrong verse, I'm sorry, but it says, this kind cometh forth not by but by prayer and fasting. The disciples were trying to heal someone, they could not, and I wrote the wrong verse down, I'm sorry. I'm human. Praise the Lord. What's that? 1721. That may be it. I probably was dyslexic. That's it. Verse number 20. And Jesus answered and said unto them, because your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall remove this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and shall be removed. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And I'm going to fix that in my notes so that later I can have it right as well. The disciples couldn't do this, and he said, look, you don't believe enough. You haven't prayed. You haven't fasted. You got to be ready for it when it comes. The Apostle Paul fasted. Peter fasted. I'm not going to take time to turn to all these scriptures, but you find out that they fasted. Fasting is all the way through the Bible. It's not an Old Testament or New Testament thing. It is all the way through the Bible. And it's something that has been done for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Now, so fasting is not to get man's attention, number two. It's to get God's attention. Fasting is not so that you can walk around to your friends and call your friends and say, oh, you pray for me, I'm fasting. That's not what it's about. Now, Jesus addressed it in his first sermon. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount begins in Matthew chapter 5. That's the first recorded sermon of Jesus. But in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 16. This is the middle of the first sermon recorded by Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. So in chapter 6, verse number 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not to men to fast, but unto the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father seeth thee in secret, shall reward thee openly. That term, wash thy face, anoint thy head and wash thy face. In other words, if you've fasted sleep, you're going to be tired. Make sure that you clean up and look like you normally would, as though you slept all night. You might have a little bit baggy eyes, but you're not supposed to look like and smell like you've been up all night. Clean yourself up and go about your business as normal. It's not to promote to other people. The same is true. I
I shouldn't say this, but I add it to the list. I knew somebody one time that they were going to go on a 40-day fast. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I respected them. But just about everybody in the country knew they were on their 40-day fast. I was like, what good is that? That's why the Bible says they have their reward. You get the pity of man when you're telling everybody, but you're not going to get God's attention. If you do it in secret, God will reward you. If you only want man's reward, go for it. I'd rather have God's reward than man's reward any day. And God, Jesus addresses this in the Sermon on the Mount, his first recorded sermon. Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean that you can't tell your spouse. All right? Fellas, if you're going to fast, you probably ought to tell your wife you plan on fasting a certain day or certain meals so she doesn't get upset with you and think you're sick. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Fellas, if your wife's going to fast, she might tell you, and you're going to sit at the table by yourself while and eat. Don't get mad at her if she's fasting for a certain reason. And by the way, you don't have to tell each other what it's about necessarily, just that you are. Now, if you choose to, that's fine. But what it's saying here, it doesn't mean you can't tell anybody, but those in your household probably ought to know. That way they don't think, you know, if you're not going to eat for 3 days, your kids are going to probably wonder what's going on. Okay? Dad doesn't like what Mom made. He ain't even coming to the table. You know, that's not a good thing. So it doesn't mean that you can't tell the people in your household, but you're not supposed to text everybody in your contact list and let you pray for me while I fast for the next 3 days. You might as well not do it at that point in time. That's what it means by this. Now, it's a very personal thing between you and God. This is interesting to me. Turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Again, I love how God puts everything in the Bible. John the Baptist had disciples. Okay? One of which was the Apostle Andrew. He left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. But John the Baptist was still alive. John the Baptist still had disciples with him. It was prior to his death. And the Bible says there became a little contention between John the Baptist's disciples and Jesus. I want to show you what that is here. Mark chapter 2, look at verse number... let's look at verse number 17. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them that they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the disciples of John of the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, why did the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days. The disciples didn't fast when they were with Jesus. But the Bible says Jesus was teaching them about it so that when he was gone, they knew what to do. John's disciples were upset. They said, even the Pharisees are fasting. How come your disciples aren't? He said, you're not going to fast while the bridegroom's with you. When the bridegroom leaves, it's time to fast. Right now, it's time to work. Now, let me help you with a few things here. So, fasting is a time, this is a big word, it's a time of consecration. Say, what's that mean? That means you're concentrating all of your efforts on and focusing everything on one thought there. That's what consecrate, or it really, I'm breaking it down. Concentrate, consecrate are pretty close to the same word. Not exactly.
Don't condemn me, but we're in that realm. You're setting something aside, focusing on that one thought, that one need, and you're dedicating everything you have and your energies to that so that God hears you in a special way, and you're spending extra time with God, giving up something that is precious to you, either sleep or food, and doing that in such a way. Now, there are several, there are some health benefits to fasting, but may I say this, be careful. Be careful. I was an assistant pastor in South Carolina. I had a young couples class. We were running about 40, 50 adults in my couples class. We were on the move. I started with nothing. We were motoring, and about midnight one night, my phone rang, or 2 a.m, I forget what time, but it was in the middle of the night. One of the couples in my Sunday school class called me and said, "Brother Bush, Brother Bush," and it was the lady, and I could hear some kind of weird noises. She said, "Dave's having a seizure." I said, "Did you call 911? "No, I called you first." I thought, good night, call 911, lady. I said, "What's happened?" "Well, he's been fasting for a week, and he hadn't had anything, and he was, hypoglycemic. I thought, oh, I said, "Get some juice or something in him, call the paramedics, I'll meet you at the hospital." I got to the hospital before they did, met him there, and he didn't listen to me. If you have some health issues, you need to watch it. All right, everybody doing okay? Yes. Fasting doesn't mean you even have to go 24 hours. Now, it wouldn't hurt you to go 24 hours without food in most cases. I know I've done it many a times. But there's times my schedule gets so hectic that my body is getting run down and I got to be careful. So I'll fast 1 or 2 meals a day and just eat one meal. And that's what, and by the way, I don't make up for it in one meal either. It's a normal one. But I have done that. Years ago, I had somebody that had a persistent health issue, and I promised them, and probably for several years, I fasted one meal a day, every day for several years for that person. They had a brain tumor, and after a couple years, it was gone. I fasted every day for years for that. Now, I didn't fast every day 24 hours, but I dedicated one period of time for that one thing. Make sense to everybody?
Yes.
So most of us eat way too much food. Most of us eat food that's not good for us. It's not fuel. It's sludge. I'm not going to get into a health food kick here because you take my gravy away or my coffee away and we're going to fight, amen? But I do believe we ought to eat as healthy as we can. And I think that fasting, I know fasting physically,
biologically speaking, is a good way for your system to purge itself. You should drink a lot of water. In some cases, you should drink some juice, either vegetable or fruit juice. If you have sugar issues, you can't go that long without some kind of sugar help. I understand that. I know people that they'll go a week and do nothing but drink water for a week, and that's fine. As hyper as my system is, they take me to the hospital after a few days. Trust me, my body's just a little bit more wiry than that. I don't do long fasts necessarily, though I'm not afraid of them. And if the Lord wants me to, I will. But you need to have plenty of fluids, plenty of rest when you're fasting. If you notice when John's disciple said, "Well, we and the Pharisees do, how come your disciples don't?" And he said, "Because they're with me. We're keeping a pretty hectic pace. They don't have time to let your body rest." Fasting requires extra rest. Your body can't run on empty. You have to be able, you can only run the car so long with no gas. And then you better be going downhill to the gas station. You eventually got to put fuel back in the tank. But that fasting will purge your system.
You may feel like you're going to die the first time you do it, but you won't, I promise you. You say, well, I got the shakes. I got to eat something. Sometimes the shakes are God cleaning the poison out of your system.
Yes.
It's like going through the detox with the drug addict or the alcoholic. Friday, Loretta called me about Jimbo's brother being in the rehab and nearly dying. And he's a hardcore drinker, smoker. And I mean, it's so bad at the rehab, the doctor wrote a prescription for the guy to drink beer because they didn't want him detoxing in there. That's how addicted to it he is. Well, I sat at his bedside yesterday and won him to Christ.
Praise
that man rolled over and went, after he got saved.
Amen.
I didn't know this till this morning between Sunday school and church. Loretta walked over and she said, "Preacher," she said, "he got it." I said, "I told you he did." She said, "No, you don't understand. Jimbo was there and the doctors prescribed alcohol and cigarettes for him because he detoxed while he's in there and they don't have the facility to take care of that." She said, "He told Jimbo, go get that stuff and get rid of it. I don't need it anymore." She said, "He got it." I said, "Yeah, he did." And I didn't say nothing about it. I said, I had no idea. She said, "He knows what he's supposed to do. He just told Jimbo, I don't need that anymore." Now, folks, that's what Jesus can do to somebody. That's what it takes. But you might get a little shaky. You might get a little jittery. Some of us have way too much sugar in our system. Way too much sugar. The average person, the way they drink their tea, their coffee, has more sugar in it than anybody should ever think about.
Yeah.
I was at Dunkin' Donut one day. No lie. This person had 10 sugars and 6 creams in their coffee. I thought, good night, you got to get an extra large cup of coffee to get a small coffee in there. I thought, what in the sense is there? Why don't you just open a can of sweetened condensed milk and drink it, you know? It's no different. I'm not criticizing you. I like my coffee plain, black, not cold either.
Yes.
don't corrupt the holy bean. All right? Give it to me strong and black. If you can see the bottom of the cup, throw it away. And by the way, don't wash my coffee cup either. I like my dirty cups. Amen. I have 3 coffee cups that I use. I have 1 here and 2 insulated ones, and my wife will rinse them out, but she has been instructed not to wash them. I had like 8 years. I hadn't washed this coffee cup. It was good and brown on the inside. It was well seasoned. My secretary, I had a new secretary, she thought she was going to be nice, and she cleaned my coffee cup out one day. I just about fired her. Wow. One of the first things I told that woman, don't you dare touch my coffee cup. Would you ever wash my coffee cup? It took me years to get that cup back into condition shape. You say, "Preacher, that's gross," okay? You can call it what you want. That's the way I drink it. I don't worry about it. You can dump water into my coffee cup and it'll turn brown. I like it that way. Now, but we've got to fast. We've got to purge our system every once in a while. And by the way, I don't drink coffee because I have to. I drink it because I like it. I drink 1 cup of coffee a day. That's it. On Sundays, I drink 2. That's it. You say, "Preacher, don't you have a coffee pot here?" No, on purpose. I've had people volunteer to buy them. My wife wanted to get. I said, "Don't do it," because I drink it by the potful then, and then I never sleep. Oh, he said, "Well, drink decaf." Decaf drives me nuts. Even I have way too much in my system, so I drink it. I don't drink coffee past about 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm done as of 9 o'clock with that one cup. I lasted all morning, and I'm done. And I won't drink it again. You say, why? Because the preacher's got to be able to sleep. I don't sleep much anyway, but coffee doesn't help me at all. So, but that detoxing, you can get shaky and you feel quivery and put a little bit more water in your system. Well, I'm getting a headache. That means you're dehydrated. Put more water in. Most people are more dehydrated than they are anything. That's the best thing in the world you can drink right there. Amen. And I'll just quit right there. And by the way, I'm not drinking that barley green junk that some of you all, you can drink all the swamp water and stuff you want. I'm not doing that. You can chew on grass. I'm not going to do it. If you want to eat bark and drink swamp water, go for it. I'm not doing it. Give me a cup of coffee. But I'm not drinking that stuff. I believe in balance. Amen. Now, you can fast one meal a day for many days for a certain thing. You could fast two meals a day for several days if you take heavy medications. There are people here that are on seizure medications or heart medications or different types of medications that you have to take with food. I understand that. But most of you don't take it three times a day. You might only take it twice a day. And you could get away with fasting one meal then. Whatever it be. And like I said, I don't want you to jeopardize your health. But I do believe in that. You can also fast sleep. It doesn't mean you go fast asleep. like some of you do in church. Fasting sleep. That means you go to bed either late or you get up real early. Or you don't go to bed at all and you stay up and pray all night. You say, preacher, I don't know if I could do that. I'm not asking you to. I've got a pastor friend. About a month ago, my phone buzzed at 2 o'clock in the morning. And when my phone goes off in the middle of the night, something's wrong. And I hear it. I reached over and I grabbed a hold of that thing. And it said, from brother so-and-so. I thought, what in the world? And of course, I got to put my glasses on because I can't even see anything. I'm reaching for the glasses, got those, grabbed the phone, grabbed it, and flipped it open, and it says, I'm up praying all night long. I was thinking about you, and I love you. Have a good day. I thought, why couldn't you wait until at least 5 or 5:30 to do this? It's nice to be thought about in the middle of the night when somebody's praying for you, but gosh, at 2 o'clock in the morning, don't do that to me. And by the way, I never told him. I just thanked him for it when I got up. I didn't text him back at that hour. Now, wait a minute. You could fast sleep. Spend time in prayer instead of sleeping. There's one reason I'm usually up about 3:30, 3:45, 4 o'clock every Sunday morning. I'm fasting sleep so I can get God's power on us in an extra special way. I'm fasting for it. Don't you think I'd rather stay in bed? Especially when it's 58 degrees outside, the ceiling fan's running, the windows are open, and man, it was gorgeous this morning. I did not want to crawl out of bed. Especially when I moved my hand and my thumb was full of arthritis going, don't do that. And then when I stood up, it felt like a hot poker in my left hip going, don't stand on that. No, I didn't feel like getting up at 4 o'clock this morning, but it did. I'll tell you why. It was something that I had chosen. Fasting has some physical benefits to it. You know, the body is like an engine. Every once in a while, it needs an oil change. You got to put good fuel in the tank, and you got to change the oil. You know how much grease you run through your body? Think of how much grease and oil you eat in your life. Well, every once in a while, you got to let it purge itself out and clean itself. You got to change the plugs every once in a while. The plugs will foul out. Amen. You got to keep the spark going. For it to run smoothly and run for a long time, you got to maintain that engine. On the way back from Lexington, my truck turned 199,000 miles. The next trip I make to Lexington, I'll pass 200,000 miles in that truck. It still runs real well. You hit the key, turns right over. Thank God for Ford, amen. But you say, why? Put good gas in it. Make sure you keep the air filters clean. Make sure you do your regular oil maintenance on it like I do. Make sure everything's in decent shape. Now, I don't take care of it like a mechanic would. I understand. You say, why? Because I'm not a mechanic. But I do take care of it. And it'll run longer, run better longer, because I didn't abuse it. I've done the regular maintenance on it. My son was telling me the other day, he did an oil change on a truck that had over 700,000 miles on it. And it's a service truck. It's a truck they use for construction or something, some kind of service. It just has regular maintenance all the time. He said, Dad, that thing purrs like a kitty. Had over 700,000 miles on that thing. I said, yeah, because they take care of it the right way. They do what they're supposed to do with it. Now, the purpose of fasting is not to give up food and lose weight. The purpose of biblical fasting is to spend time with God, showing how important something is to you, and try to get his attention on it. That's what it really is. By the way, I said this at the beginning, I'll say it again. He may not grant your request, but at least you spent time with him. David fasted for the life of that baby, and that baby still died. But can I tell you something? David and God were closer.
Yes.
That child came because of a sinful relationship. God didn't judge the child. God was judging David. David knew it. David was fasting and praying because he knew that child was suffering because of his sin. He wasn't blaming God. And when the child died, guess what? That child was in heaven. That's why all of David's servants were worried. If he was this bad off before the child died, how is he going to be because the child died? The Bible says that he cleaned himself up, he got some food, and he was okay because he knew that child was in heaven.
Yes.
You see, that fasting was in hope that it could be spared, but it was David's sin that had caused that. You might fast about our building. You might fast about a family member or a relationship in your family or something. You may have a specific need, a health need. You might even fast about somebody's salvation. Can I tell you something? You get God in on that, look what will happen.
Yes.
Let me tell you. Now, again, please do something. Don't call me at 2 o'clock in the morning because you're hypoglycemic and you didn't eat for a week and you're in a seizure, all right? Be wise. And I mean that. Be wise. I'm not asking somebody to go on a 40-day fast. It can be done. I think you need to do your homework before you do that. I don't think it ought to be the first one you ever do either. I think you ought to work your way into it, understand it a little better. But the whole purpose of it is not so that you can lose weight or clean your system out. The whole purpose of it is so that you can spend time with God about a specific need. That is biblical fasting. Not taught in America. Let me say this again. I wonder how many bad decisions have been made because people didn't take time to fast. I wonder how many tragedies have happened because people didn't take time to fast. They just reacted. I wonder. Every head bowed, every eye closed.